Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Let's start with the word of prayer before we jump into tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that we can come and gather and sit at your feet. Lift up our voices and worship. I pray that the word as it goes forth this night, as we hear from you, that whatever you have for us, wherever we're at, would find a place to settle in, to take root, as we've taken the time to worship you and lift our voices to you, that the soil of our heart would be prepared for whatever you have for us this night, what you have for me this night. Lord God, we just, again, we thank you that we can come and we can gather and we can learn and seek more and see more of you. Pray that you would just be amongst your people this night as we look at your word, and that you would minister to us where we're at and whatever our needs are this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, I'll tell you right away, I've told a couple, I'm concerned for tonight, for me. I'm usually very, very, very prepared, and I am prepared, but I'm usually very, very prepared in that I have 35 pages of notes and I just read them. The whole time I was trying to put this together, I couldn't do that. I had verses and I had scriptures and I had areas that I wanted to speak, but I more just wanted to kind of speak my heart. And the more I tried to write down the words, the more I couldn't. So we may be done in 15 minutes, we may be done in an hour. So I ask you to bear with me, and hopefully throughout this all, you can hear my heart. So what it is tonight's message is called Awesome and Amazing. We're going to be looking at Psalm 104, but as I usually do, I like to kind of lay the groundwork of how I got to this point. And it'll kind of, you'll see as we go through and look at some of these areas, some of these other scriptures, where I'm coming from. It's a little similar to some of the other messages I've brought before and I've taught before. But as always, it's different. It's another message for you, my brothers and sisters. It's a message to remind. It's a message to refresh. It's a message to maybe look anew at something we've seen and we already know. It's another opportunity to see how awesome our God is and this amazing world that we reside in. Again, it's called Awesome and Amazing. And just, I'm going to jump with an aside as to why I thought about doing things the way I did tonight. I even talked to Sandy a little bit about it before she left today. I've talked to a couple others. As an aside, we're told as Christians that we need to be able to give an account for that which we believe. If somebody comes up to you and says, hey, this is what it says in Isaiah 40, this verse, should we not be able to at least speak a little bit into that? So that's kind of what the Lord, I think, was putting on my heart tonight. So maybe that's an encouragement for you, because it is for me. We've been a Christian for more than a little while. Almost anything that somebody comes up, we should be able to find some application, some truth, some fruit of value to give across to others. And that's what I'm hoping to do for you guys tonight. And maybe stir you to be able to do the same when you look and you read, that you will find that, hey, I didn't see that before. It's a simple verse, but there's things there. So I knew I was teaching when I got back. I've been in Florida for almost 4 weeks. And while I was down there, I started to ponder. I knew I was going to teach when I got back, but I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And I kind of started having a thought. It happened with one thing I did, and I'll explain. And I went for a couple of big walks. And as I was walking, I just started thinking, how wonderful God is, how amazing He is. It became clear as time went on. One of the first things I did when I was down there, I told Marge, I called it my jar experiment. I went out to the pond next to us, and I dug up some dirt and scum from the edge of the pond and just took water right from the edge of the pond and threw it in a glass jar, and I sealed the top. And I just let it sit there. And you know what? In a day or two, there was a fish in there. There was worms in there. There were little tiny, tiny, tiny creatures like this swimming around. There was life in there. Who put that life there? God did. And it made me think, this little tiny, tiny swimming whatever it was, God created that and God designed that. And as I went on some of my walks, I thought of that as I looked at trees, as I see the birds and the wildlife. We went and saw a rocket launch. And then you start to think of the vastness of space. You look up in the sky and you see a star and it's X million light years away. And yeah, that's only our universe. And as we'll see later on, where does he hold that? He holds it in the span of his hand. But that little tiny thing swimming in the jar, he created that too. So it really made me think, how awesome and amazing is our God? It got me thinking, how awesome and amazing, how great he is. And I was pretty sure this is what I was going to do, but I've done some more similar to this in the past. And then on Friday, I've been reading our daily bread. So those of you who have read it may have been the same one. I do it online. I read that and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what I have to do. And it was on parts of Psalm 104. So we're going to look at Psalm 104. And it speaks of, to me, what I saw right away, how awesome and how amazing our God is. So what I'm going to do is, it's long, it's 35 verses. I'm just going to read them all, and I just follow along and just kind of ponder as they come across what you see, how it hits you. And then we're going to break down a handful of those areas, and then a handful of other verses that kind of start to point to what I experienced while I was walking around and doing some things in Florida. So Psalm 104, starting at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. You are very great, you are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundation of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them, the birds of heaven have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the hearts of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengtheneth a man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted. Where the birds make their nest, the stork has her home in the fir trees, the high hills for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons, the sun knowing it's going down. You make darkness and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey, and they seek food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great. There are ships that sail about. There is a Leviathan, which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you gave them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Even as I was reading that there and as I was preparing and looking at this area, if you pay attention It's all everything he did. Everything he did. The last three verses is when it leaves, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. It's giving him praise and honor. But the first 32 verses, it's all the things he did. Great, small, vast, little, caring about the thing. He breathes, they live. He covers and turns away, they die. It's amazing. How often do you walk around each day and you don't even notice it? That's what was kind of brought to my attention, especially again with this little jar. It was amazing. And then to walk around and to sit in my pool and watching little birds scurry around. I saw a raccoon run, and it just kept on thinking about all the things our God has done. It is truly awesome and amazing. We're going to look at a couple of parts of these Psalms, and then we're going to look at a couple other scriptures, but we're going to start with Psalm 104, where we did. And again, we could just read that beginning to end, and we could call it a day, because to me, that just looking at that, when I read part of this with that Our Daily Bread, I was like, this is awesome. If somebody came up to you and asked, can you explain about Psalm 104? Who couldn't? Our God is amazing. He made everything. Life and death are in his hands. He is awesome and amazing. The little things he understands, the big things he understands, it's all him. Bless the Lord, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out like the curtains of heaven. He is awesome. And it says he is covered with honor and majesty. He's covered with light. It's how amazing he is. The theme of tonight will be, as I like to do, you'll find that as I teach in the past, I tend to repeat things. I tend to come back with the same questions and asking you the same thing as we go throughout. Tonight's that's not going to be any different. The big thing is going to be, do we remember this? As we've read throughout our lives and we hear how awesome he is and all the things he's done. Today, when you got up, did you remember that? When you look around in your jobs and in your workplaces and everything you do, do you recognize who's in control? Do you recognize that he has life and death and breath in his hands? I know for me, I don't. I really don't. But when I was gone and walking around and thinking of this, I did. And it made a difference. I started to look at things differently. Do we recognize his might, his majesty, his awesomeness, just how amazing he is? Verse 10. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them, the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. Provider. Who's your provider? Who should be your provider? Yes, we have jobs. Yes, we have farmers. Yes, we have people who do things for us. But who allows that all to happen? He could wave his hand and famine is there. He could wave his hand and your job is gone. He could wave your hand and your car doesn't work. But do we, again, it's just, do we think about that? And it's here, the water flows into the valleys. Without him, the beasts have nothing to drink. They die. They don't think about it. This is just what it is. But again, it's everyday life as we look around. And to me, this show, the birds of the heavens, they have their home. They sing among the branches. So they have a place. He's got a place for all the different animals. Again, from big to small, trees, plants, us, everything. There's a place. But he's there in the midst and provides. And we continue in verse 13. He waters the hill from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth. So he gives us what we need to provide daily for ourselves, but also for, again, the creatures. And I thought it was neat that it said, he waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. So what it is, it's all created by him, yet who does he use? He uses us. He provides all the things we need, yet he still allows us to take a role, to take a part, to come alongside. He doesn't need us. And that's something that I think of, and I think a lot of times we can, not maybe not you, but I know me, we can get caught up. He needs me. He needs my help. It wouldn't happen without me. Yes, it would. It would happen without all of us. But he would allow us, if we can humble ourselves and allow him to work through us. Verse 19 and 20. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. What I caught here, besides, we won't go into the space stuff yet. That'll be in a minute or two. But he appointed the moon for seasons. There's purpose. It's not chance. It's not randomness. He placed the moon in such a way that it provides what it needs so that we have the seasons. The sun knows it's going down because he's put it into motion. You make the darkness, it's night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. Again, we need the night-day cycle because a lot of the animals work at night, and then there's a lot that work in the day. And I just thought of, I know probably a lot of you know this, you start talking about the sun and the moon. He appointed the moon for seasons. He set it in the sky with the sun. Do you know that if our earth tips a little bit one way or the other, or if the moon moves a little bit too close or a little too far away, we die. We die. The percentages of which this has to be for us to live and sustain life on this planet, there is no way it's chance. Absolutely not. But things like this, we know that. But there's things like that, this, to me, that tell us. He put that moon the way he did, and it's for a reason and a purpose. His plan. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. Sounds like somebody's in control. Sounds like somebody has an idea what's going on. Verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. Real simple. Who made it all? He made it all. He made it all. We sometimes talk about that, that he's the glue that holds everything together. He made gravity. He made, you know, the atoms and the little nanoparticles. He made it all. And right here it says, O Lord, how manifold your works in wisdom. You have made them all. Doesn't leave out anything that we said. How much is all? What's all? All's all. He made everything. So whose earth is it? We get to live here. It's not ours. It's his. As we walk and as we live, and as we go about our daily business, the question, do we remember who it is that allowed all the things around us to be? Do we recognize, again, when we see a tree, when we see the sun go up, when we see the moon come out, do we recognize? Verse 25. This great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open their hand, your hand, they are filled. So again, this makes me think of my little jar experiment. The tiny. And then we also went fishing when we were down there. And all sizes of fish. We caught small fish, we caught bigger fish. Off the back of the boat, literally a foot from my back, sitting in the back of the boat, there was an 800-pound manatee just sitting there. A big dolphin with its baby swimming around the boat. Heading down the channel, a 10-foot gator. But then we're catching little tiny fish, and then you have all the little tiny love bugs flying around that are swarming all over Florida right now. But again, you went from big to small. Great variety. And who designed it all? He designed it all for a purpose. There's a plan and a purpose for all these things. Why do these bugs fly, mate for a day, and die? I have no clue. but he made them that way for a reason. There's a purpose behind this. We may never see that for half of the things, for 99% of the things. We'll never know why he made them the way he did. We'd go, well, I wouldn't do it that way. That's stupid. No, he made it that way for a reason, and there's a plan and a purpose. And again, he designed it all. Do we remember that when we look at a bug? Do we remember that when we look at something we don't like or something we're afraid of? Do we remember that? It's just more things do we need to recognize, more reminders. And then something cool in here I don't know if you caught. In verse 26, there the ships sail about, there is that Leviathan which you have made to play there. So there's this big fish-like creature. We don't know what it is, whether it's a, you know, a plesiosaur or ichthyosaurus, whatever, some big dinosaur. He made this giant creature just to swim around the water. Again, his plan, his purpose. We don't understand it. Why would you make a creature just to swim around the water?
I don't know.
He made it just so it could play there. That's, again, isn't that amazing? Verse 29, you hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created. You renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. As I said earlier as we went through that, in whose hands are life and death? Not just ours, everything. Life and death is in his hands. And it really kind of hit me as I was reading it to you, and I've read this through a handful of times, but it hit me. You take away their breath, and they die. Yeah. The antelope is attacked by the lion. God takes away its breath, and it dies. And then the young, you send forth your spirit, and you renew the face of the earth, and they are created. You speak. You wave your hand, you look, you breathe, and life takes place. You take away that breath, it's dead, it dies. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Again, not our works. So again, it goes back to, we often believe, I guess it's how God made us, that we think we're in control of a whole lot of things. And the more I read this and the more I learn, I find I'm in absolutely control of almost nothing. You know, I can get up here and speak to you and hopefully take my next breath and he doesn't take that away. But I mean, it really was kind of almost sobering to start to think about this when you think of all these things. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Whose works? His works. So all around us, again, every day, in everything we do, everything we see, again, when you go on that walk, when you get up in the morning and look outside, you go out there and see a sunrise, you go out and see the sunset, you listen to a thunderstorm in the rain, you watch it go away and the sky turns orange. Who's in control of that? When you see that, do you go, oh my gosh, it's wet out there? Or do you go, oh my gosh, that's glorious. He allowed that to happen. He made that. His works. Again, do we recognize, do we remember who's in control and who's in charge of all of this? We're going to look at a couple other areas. Hopefully we'll kind of continue along the theme. Genesis 1:31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So we don't just say it's good. He was pleased with what he had made. He finished on that sixth day, and he goes, this is good. This is good. When we look at small things, and again, little critters that scare us, big critters that scare us, things around us that are creepy, crawly, we don't like, whatever, can we say, God made it, though? It is good. It is good. Psalm 19:1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. So we look up in the sky at night, and it says the heavens, they declare his glory. The firmament, all that up there. That's his handiwork. That's his artwork. That's him placing the stars in the sky, in the planets, in the moons, in the nebulas, in the all the things out there that I struggle to understand even a little bit of. He did that all. And then Psalm 8:1, to the chief musician on this instrument of Gath, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. So it goes back to about that vastness. How great, again, and when you start to think that there could be other galaxies that we don't even see. It's mind-boggling. Yet, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, again, he put it all into place. What is man that you are mindful of him? What is Kevin that he is mindful of him? What is Clay that he is mindful of him? How is that not awesome? How is it not amazing when you hear this? You know, and again, so if somebody talks to you about some of these scriptures, should we be able to at least give an account, give something across? I think we should, so I'm hoping that that's an encouragement for some of you as you read and as you talk to friends. But I just thought that was, well, you made him a little lower than the angels, and then you crowned him with honor and glory. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. Again, so he made it all, but he allows us to work with him. He doesn't need us. He doesn't have to have us. But he wants us to want to be there. He wants our love, our worship, our adoration, and he wants the help because he wants us to want to be with him and beside him. Doesn't need it, but he put these things into place, and then he says, hey, Pam, will you help? How amazing is that? Isaiah 40, verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Vast, huge. Psalm 147, 4. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. He knows the name of every star. What do I believe this to be? He has a name for every single star that is out there. Is that not wild? And again, he holds the measure of the waters in the hollow of his hand. This little part of his hand, he can measure it all. The dust of the earth, it's just a measure to him. It's just a measure. That's how big and how vast he is. Yet he loves us and wants us to come alongside him. Do you remember? Do you recognize this when you go about everything you do? Matthew 10, 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than any sparrows. He doesn't just understand the big things, he understands the small things. He knows the small things. So again, do we see and remember this? It's like he said, he can turn around and take the breath away, and he knows when that sparrow passes. Similar to the stars, the hairs on our heads, however many or few they are, he knows them by number. He knows exactly how many you have. And again, I couldn't figure out what I have, but he knows us all. So again, this was the whole theme of me walking around. You have this vastness, and then you have this little tininess. And he's in the midst of everything. His handiwork is there in all of it. And he knows it all. It's not by chance. It's not by happenstance. It's not like, didn't know about that sparrow. No, I did. So the question then becomes, does he understand you? Yes, he does. He does. He knows you. He knows your trouble. If he knows the hairs on your head and he knows the names of all the stars, does he know what you're going through right now? Does he know what you're struggling with? Absolutely. Isaiah 40, 23. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted, scarcely shall they be sown, scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when he will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Again, the rulers of the earth, the princes, they're nothing. He can take their breath away in a moment's notice. As he said, like the animals, he breathes life, they live. He withholds the breath, they die. We look around the world today. Politics, war, strife, a bigger divide between, we'll just say, left and right than there ever has been. Do we worry at times? I know I do. I sometimes hear things on the news, I hear things on the radio, and I worry about it. I heard stuff today, and I'm like, oh, man, what happens if that happens? Oh, dear, what happens if that happens? Who's in control? Who's in control? We may not like it. We may not like what the results are when something's going to happen, but at the end of the day, who's in charge? If another side gets in office that we don't like, and it seems terrible, he's allowed it to happen for a reason. And we have to just say, amen. Lord, you're in control, not me. Your will be done, not mine. So it goes back to outside just the plants and the animals and stuff like that. The princes, everyday events. Is he involved? Yes. Does he always get his hand involved? He may not. He may allow things to take their path. But if he wants to, he certainly can. We're going to continue on in Isaiah 40. We're going to look at 26 through 28. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord creator of the ends of the earth, neither fades nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He's never weary. We work for a couple hours and we're weary. We stay up too late, we're weary. We get up too early, we're weary. He's not weary. He doesn't forget. He hasn't lost any of his people. He won't lose you or me. He knows where we are. He knows who we are. And again, it just goes back to how awesome and amazing is this God that we serve. Can we worship him knowing, and when we do worship him, should we think of these things? I think we should. How awesome. I know, again, I'll point out for me, a lot of times I don't. I sing songs and I just kind of sing along. But there's times where I think of these things and it's like, wow, he deserves a lot more than that because he's awesome. Continuing on in Isaiah 40, 29, he gives power to the weak. Oh, that's us. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Does that mean we won't get tired and we won't faint and we won't struggle? No, we will. But there's going to be somebody there alongside us holding our arms up, helping to push us along, help us to move us along. In the midst of everything, in the midst of joy, despair, trials, pain, troubles, whatever that is, how often do you find your strength in yourself? Where should we find our strength? And we all know this. We know this. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many times when you're in trouble, strife, toil, do you try and pull yourself along? I'm good at doing that. What should we do? Lord, I can't walk anymore. What do I do? I don't know how to handle this. I don't like it. I'm not happy. What do I do? Tell me how to work with this. I would be really, really good if I would take some of my own advice with this. I really would. Marge can probably say amen to that. Lamentations 3:20. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. Do we remember? Who do we have hope in? Who should our hope be in? In the middle of everything, when we look up and see the vastness of the sky, when we look down and see the bug or the blade of grass or the piece of dust, when we see the big, when we see the small, again, it's all because of him. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. I look at it this way. Again, he made it all. He controls it all. He controls life and death. Where should our portion be? It should be with him. Our hope should be with him. It needs to be with him. If it's with us, we're in trouble. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Continuing on with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledging him, and he shall direct your paths. So he can give you the direction to go if in all our ways we acknowledge him. Say, hey, Lord, I am struggling. I don't know the path to go down. Can you lead me? Can you direct me? I'm going to start moving in this direction. If I need to stop, stop me. If I need to go, open the door. Put the rock down so I can step on it. So how often, again, do we allow him to direct our path, or do we direct our path? How often do we acknowledge him? And again, when we look around, and in our everyday lives, do we remember these things? Do we think of these things? And for me, I'll jump off. I see this for me so often when I'm getting ready to teach. That I really, because I can't do it myself. I have to lean on him. I have to go, Lord, I don't know what to teach when Bill's gone. I'm walking around and I'm looking at things. I'm hoping that you're gonna lead me. You know, you're gonna play a song. I'm gonna hear a song on the radio and it's gonna make me think of something. I'm gonna collect pond water and I'm gonna see a little tiny bug and I'm gonna think of something. And I really notice it a lot when I get a chance to teach. Because at that point I know how weak and frail I am, and I have to focus on him. So do we remember? Do we recognize his handiwork? Do we recognize his spirit in our lives day by day? Romans 1:18-20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because they may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. What does that tell you? When you look around, you're watching the handiwork of God. You see the handiwork of God in everything that is around you. The world wants to ignore that. That's where we can come in. We see that. We know that. When we walk around every day, we see that. Both large and small, do we see our God's handiwork? When we look at those things, again, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Remember and recognize. Job 12:9-10. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of mankind? So just in some of these scriptures tonight, how much have we heard? Who's in control of all of this? There's been like, I think, 3, 4, 5 already. In whose hand is the life of every living thing? It's his. It's not ours. It's in his hands. The breath of all mankind. So are we getting it? Do we not know whose hand our lives are in? Where does our breath come from? It comes from him. When you get up in the morning, we should be saying, thank God I can breathe again. Because it's from him. As I walked and I looked in my jars, I looked at the skies, I watched the birds, I saw all the wonderful things in the water, I was remembering where it all came from. Because again, I don't always remember that. I don't always think about it. I'm too busy doing what Kevin wants to do. So when you look up tonight, when you see the tiny, when you see the infinite, when you see those stars in the moon, or again, you see that little bug on your windshield, do you see God? We should. Our God. Are we not awed and amazed? So winding down, we have another one of my favorites. And this is to kind of wrap it up. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us according to glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He has not only created all of this, the big and the small. He cares about the stars and knows them by name. He knows when a bird passes away. He cares about you. He cares about me. We see the wonderful world and all it contains, and the universe is beyond. We see this all. And again, God is in the midst of it. What more is there? He gave his son for you. He sent his son down here to die on your behalf and on my behalf. And with that, as his divine power is given to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, Jesus, who called us to glory and virtue, by which having been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through those you may be a partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. We look and we see all these amazing things, and hopefully again we recognize, we remember. But not just that. As we struggle through some of these things, and as we struggle through life and to allow him to take our paths and lead us and direct us and guide us, his word also says, I've given you everything you need to live that life. And it's kind of like that word, the all. He hasn't just given you some of the stuff you need to live that life. He's given you everything you need for life and godliness. Everything. Is there an excuse for us to not live a godly life every single day? We've been given it. And we see this, and again, so often I feel like these are reminders for me when I come up here. And I'm going to guess there's for some of you that might be a reminder too. It might just be a refresher. But is he not awesome? Is he not amazing? Do we remember these things and do we recognize them when we see them? All around us, Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Since he put it all together, his invisible attributes, all that stuff around us, it's clearly seen. We got to open our eyes and take a look at it. So what is the hope kind of for tonight, or the prayer for tonight? The hope is that we can all walk away renewed, refreshed, eyes, ears, hearts open to whatever he would say, whatever he wants to show you. And it may not be to tell you something and push you in a direction. It may be that you look up at a star tonight and go, oh my gosh, you know the name of that. You know, seeing how awesome he is and being continually amazed at how awesome that is. Shouldn't we be that? We should be that every single day. And again, I keep on saying me, I was reminded of this over and over and over. And when I read Psalm 104, it solidified it. We need to remember this. It's all around us. And what I see here too is the scriptures don't talk of it just in a little tiny bit here and there. It's in there. Old Testament, New Testament, it's in there. We need to recognize this. One last Psalm, 104:33-35. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what we're going to do is I like to end sometimes with a song. I have one tonight, but I'm going to actually play a video. But what I'm going to do is I don't want to get in trouble by playing something online. So I'm going to pray, and then worship team, you guys can come up. The song's about 2 minutes long, and then Noah's going to stop the recording and stop the broadcasting so we don't do anything we shouldn't do by broadcasting YouTube videos. So we'll close in prayer, and then a quick song, and I have a word or two to say about it. Thank you, Lord God, for this night. We thank you for a time in your word. I pray that we would recognize and remember, as you showed me so many things as I walked and looked around and saw bugs and animals and trees and stars. It was a huge reminder for me, that, and so often I forget. I pray that I would look daily, and I pray that my brothers and sisters may do that if they haven't, and that they would see you in the awesomeness around you, in the awesomeness around us. How amazing you are and what you've provided for us and given for us. That life and death and breath are in your hands. And it says your attributes, they're clearly seen. From the foundation of the world, they're clearly seen. We thank you that in that all, you remember us. And you sent your son to die on our behalf. So Lord God, we just lift this evening to you. Pray that you'll be blessed and glorified. Bring Pastor Bill home safely. And we just thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Hang on one second. So the song I'm going to have Jeff play is, I was just thinking of it, and it's an old one. If you've been around Calvary for a while, you'll know it. As we go through life, we all have our struggles. We all have our cares and concerns. We allow the world to overwhelm us. My hope was that tonight we recognize that God is all around us. He's in control of it all. And he can help you and he can lead you. And he doesn't need our help, but he would like us to come alongside him. And I just thought, you know, there might be somebody here that's struggling tonight that maybe can't get out of their own way. So often with me, I can't get my head out of my own way. And I thought of this song because I've sent it to some people before in the past in the midst of struggles. So our God is awesome and amazing. He cares for you. He sent his only son to die for you. Take a listen, and then we'll worship and end.